This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
No.
With his friends dying all around him.
The cloak falls to the ground.
Baron must make a crucial decision.
I mean, I don't really know what else I could do at this point.
Flee.
That changes everything.
That does change everything.
Oh.
Or stay to protect the only comrade he has left.
You still got one dwarf left. I'm over here.
The adventure continues.
You'll be missed.
I mean, I'm staying. Matthew's staying.
Bummer.
No.
What is going on, Glass Cannon Nation? Welcome back to the show. It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, welcoming you to part four now of Thrown for a Loop. What a month it has been in Giant Slayer. It has been stressful, to say the least, and I am very eager for you guys to hear this episode, so I don't want to dilly-dally too long. But I do have some important news that I want to share, so I'll try to get through it quickly. First, I want to send out a huge thank you to the fantastic members of the Nash that joined us at the Bell House in Brooklyn this past Saturday. What a crowd! It was fun in there, and I got to say, being completely honest, I had a couple friends, personal friends that were there that don't really listen to the podcast, but wanted to come out to support me, support the guys, and just try to figure out what the hell it is we do. And they were just, I mean, across the board, blown away, not only by the incredible energy that our crowd brings to the show, but how genuinely enjoyable the Nation is to meet and hang out with during the after party. So thank you guys so much for making us look good and for showing us a great time. We really did have an amazing time, and we can't wait till the next one, which is Seattle. Next stop, Seattle. Seattle is sold out, but we have plenty of shows coming up later this year that are not yet sold out. We just announced Boston last week, and we'll be at the Paradise Rock Club on Sunday, November 3rd. It's to be honest, it's one of our fastest selling shows yet. So if you're going to be in New England in November, if you can make that happen, grab a ticket now. I can only imagine what a crazy good time that show is going to be. Also, don't forget, if you are going to Gen Con, grab tickets to one of our two shows in Indy that's happening during Gen Con, Thursday night and Saturday afternoon. We're playing both of those shows, and particularly the first one are dangerously close to selling out. Also, we will be in Atlanta on August 31st and back at the Bootleg Theater in LA on October 5th. You can find out more information about those shows and links to get tickets at our website at glasscannonpodcast.com. I want to do a quick update on Patreon news, talk about our next goal. We are rapidly closing in now on our $40,000 goal, and we're just so close that it's really imminent, and we're planning exactly how this is going to happen. At 40K, we are going to start regular Twitch streams from the office, featuring Troy and myself, and of course, special guests, playing games, and most importantly, talking games. You know, in 2018, we published nearly triple the amount of actual play content that we published in 2017. In 1 year, we tripled the content, and that is all thanks to Patreon and your guys' support that we get through there. But there is one downside to that, in my view of it, which is that we're basically locked away, furiously recording episodes of Pathfinder or Starfinder gameplay whenever we see each other. So we're missing out on the good old days of Troy and Joe just being able to kick back, play some video games, and hang out with the Nash. We truly miss it. And at 40K, we can set aside that time to regularly get together and hang out with you guys. We'll be playing video games and talking all things geek with anyone that can show up in chat. Also, as a huge thank you for pushing us over this milestone, we're going to do a one-time live cannon fodder to cover all of the many, many things that are happening on the network these days, including but not limited to episode 200 and all the happenings of Giant Slayer since then. There is so much behind-the-scenes juicy goodness that I want to share with you guys. So help us hit that 40K goal, and we will be able to do it live. Okay, that's it. I'm done. Thank you for your time and attention. And now we shall return to Skiergard. Please enjoy episode 205, Thrown for a Loop 4, Some New Hope.
Oh, man. Talk about living up to the hype.
Like dying down to the hype.
Oh, man. Just brutal.
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 And I truly, truly thought that one way or the other, it would be finished in the last episode. I can't believe it's still going.
Yeah, and you know, I certainly could have gone longer, but I don't even know where the combat goes from now. I've been prepping all week, and I'm like, I just don't know what's going to happen.
There's
here.
Still a million different
still
ways.
Still a million different possibilities. I thought it was bad last week before we started. It's even worse now. Matthew, I have to commend you. It was an amazing idea. It was done, in my estimation, completely by the book, and your intentions were perfect.
Noble.
I'm sitting here, and I brought it up, and I was like, all right, let me see if... actually, let me just read about incorporeal creatures just real quick again. Can they walk through stone or anything like... Oh, they can just pass through solid objects.
I forgot about the melee.
Oh, well, I read it, and I was like, oh, but they're fine because they can't pass through because there's nowhere to go.
I was like, I didn't think about just touching through. That blast spell, I completely forgot about the melee.
Yeah.
But regardless, my plan was buy us around for Baron to escape. That was all, or if he's dead.
You had something in mind. What were you really thinking? Lift the curtain here.
So yeah, I had a couple spells I was going to cast. Once we got in, I imagined they were going to blast, try to break the stone.
With hardness 8, 45 hit points, you know,
half
obviously
damage.
They did 42 to you, so it'd be half damage minus 8.
Yeah.
So that'd be, you know, 21 minus 8, 13 points in the first round. Yeah, that was good. That's probably at least three rounds.
So I was going to cure critical wounds on Baron.
Awesome.
I was going to do protection from energy fire.
Okay.
Communal on both of us.
Ugh. Well, then you're fine.
And then
yeah.
And then if we had remaining, if they hadn't broken through yet, I was going to start summoning creatures that would appear outside the box.
Oh yeah.
And then,
although I think you have to have line
of sight to see where they're appearing.
Yeah. Oh well, I was going to, if they got in, I was going to send Baron out, and I was going to send him running with the ethereal cloak, and I was going to meld into stone. And,
right.
and wait it out.
Right.
And he waited out to escape or to make a run for it or something. Wait for them to come back.
The witchfires use the bathroom.
Maybe they're going to give chase, in which case I could get up and transform into a bird and get out.
Again, to your credit, I didn't even think you had the shot that you had to make that stone wall. I just figured, you know, either Baron would shoot or go into the vanishing breastplate. Either you go ethereal and then Dalgrith would die. I figured it was just going to be okay, devastating blast takes out two of you, or she comes up, axe kills one. Or I was thinking if he goes into the vanishing breastplate, she was just going to come up and start hacking at the breastplate until it destroyed it, shunted him back to the material plane, and then she just killed him.
I was thinking if he went into the breastplate, I was thinking, oh, I'll just go grab it and then go ethereal, but that would have been two move actions.
Yeah.
I couldn't have gone ethereal, which means I would have been dead.
I remember when we wrapped up 2 weeks ago, you were saying that. I heard you saying that to Baron, and then you realized, oh, no, I can't activate it, move, pick up. That's two move actions.
And if you're ethereal... If I had been gone ethereal and stayed in the area, I guess they had targeted, but did they have AOL spell, area of effect
spells? Wishfires, no.
Oh, well, then we'd be fine. Because if it was area of effect or blast, you can actually be hit by force or abjuration stuff when you're in the ethereal plane.
Yeah, I don't know if the fire would affect that. I think the devastating blast was fire as well. Either way, you'll be missed.
I mean, I'm staying. Matthew's staying. You can't throw me out.
Bummer. There goes my real plan. No, I love you, Matthew. Two down. 2 left remaining.
You got another one of my characters, Troy.
50% miss chance on top of it.
How many you killed now?
I've lost count. all of them.
Not all of them.
All of them. So yeah,
Gorms, Della, and Fair. Yeah, all of them.
Well, on this show.
Sure, that's true. Yeah, I've killed them all. So watch out, Metra. Surprised she survived 200. I really don't know what happens here. But I'm going to prolong it a little longer. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do a couple things that I've never quite done before. It's going to require some trust.
Put your pants back on.
All right, hold on. Let me do that first. I've done that before.
They're sweatpants. They're so easy to take on and off.
Two things I've never done before. One, I'm going to hand Matthew a piece of paper here. It's folded over. I'm going to hand it to Joe to hand to Matthew.
I'm going to read it.
I don't want you to read it. I don't want you to read it either, Matthew. I just want you to hold on to it. But a time may come in this episode when I'm going to point to you, and you're going to open it and do what it says.
All right.
Okay? It's a piece of paper there.
Am I going to want to do what it says?
I think you will.
Okay.
You might not. It might. It might be really bad.
No, I will not make out with you.
I said, don't open it.
Don't read it. You're reading it too early.
No, I will not make out with you.
Talking about poor Phil.
Such a weird way to ask.
The other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take you back. Back to old True Now. Back to Galabras' house. Back to that room where he was sleeping in gentle repose for so long and is now gone.
You mean the mid-episode cliffhanger of last episode?
Mid-episode, yes. There's a lot of threads here.
The cliffhanger after the cliffhanger, but before the other cliffhanger.
Yes, exactly.
The cliffhanger between the two cliffhangers.
The cliffhanger 4 of 6. She says, we need to talk. I cannot say much. Though I know you have many questions. Especially you, Jimmer, who came here for the express purpose of retrieving him for his father. But Galabras is tied up in something far greater. I cannot say that I spoke to him directly. For the last time I saw him before he left, he was still feeble-minded. But suffice it to say, someone spoke through him.
Creepy.
What?
And told me. Told me to let him go. I once saw visions of this boy in the mist, the life that he lived long before he came here to True Now. I've sat by his bedside for what seems like years, even though it's only been a few weeks. And even though we've never spoke, I feel an intense connection to him. All I know is that he would want you, Jimmer, to protect his friends. That is what I was told. But he is gone.
You're going to have to tell me more. I need to know where he is.
To be honest, I do not know. I was not privy to such information, but I looked into the mist, and I feel like he is in a good place. Although the mists are not always fully true.
All right.
I'm going to do a sense motive.
Sure.
That's an 18, which is about as well as he can do.
She's definitely withholding information.
Yeah.
But you don't think she's lying
about
like everything she said has been the truth.
Him being in a good place,
right?
Yeah, he's in hell. Yeah.
About it. Yeah,
he's burning in hell.
He's burning in hell.
he's burning in hell.
Jimma, may I ask you what is your background? What brought you into the service of the Finstocks?
I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. I was basically street urchin growing up, Isle of Arran, north of Absalom. Never have been able to shake the mode of speech. And I was hungry, and I snuck aboard a ship lying in port, trying to take something of value. I was a boy at the time, and I was caught. One too bright, and brought before the gentleman who was concerned owned the ship. He happened to be there, and I don't know, I guess he saw something in me and kind of took me under his wing. And he had his own son at the time, but he treated me as one of his own, family, and I've been raised in his service. I owe him everything, and Galabras was as a brother to me, has been most of my whole life.
I do not know what your experience is with the arcane, but if you would permit me, would you like to look into your mists?
Well, I've been around pretty much this whole world, but I've never done that. But if it'll help, I will do it.
Let's see what we see about you, Jimma.
And she motions to Katresra, who's, you know, basically blind, but he just knows where all this stuff is, brings over a pot, starts boiling, and water vapors come up into the air, and Drosia, like, forcefully grabs your hands, not to hurt you, but, like, really for strength belying the way she looks. She grabs your hands, Jimma, and stands across you as this vapor starts to coalesce into another world that you can look into. And you see yourself fighting and killing giants. Just striking down creatures 4 or 5 times your size.
Whoa.
Surrounded by fire. And you look up into the sky and see a god coming down, what has to be a god, surrounded in white light from the heavens. And it looks so familiar to you. And the god just points at you. And then dematerializes. I do not know what this particular vision is trying to say, and as I said, I do not always tell the whole story, but it seems like you are destined for more than just being an errand boy, Jimma. No offense. From this vision, it seems as if you are to be a great hero. One that the gods will smile upon.
I know you came here to retrieve the boy. I feel as if you have.
Well, I'm no hero. I've done some pretty nasty things in my time.
Damn it! God! Damn it! He just, like, turns away.
All right. Fuck it. This is what he needs from me right now. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it.
I believe the friends he needs protecting are far from here. And Silvermane, I believe you know what that means.
He just nods.
Each of you are here for a reason. What that reason is may not be clear for a long time to come. But something is happening in the world. And it is up to us to play our part. Adriel, do you see it? Do you feel it?
It is seen.
It is seen. Metra, I know you have vengeance in your heart. But perhaps you weren't brought back here just for a simple act of vengeance.
I already used the word I wanted.
Troy.exe has stopped functioning.
You weren't simply brought back just to avenge your daughter's death.
I've said nothing about vengeance, only of finding my daughter.
Ooh. Yes. All right. I think we're done here. Get out of my house. It's my house now.
Wait a minute. What?
Wait, he
left it to me.
Yes, he said it was mine.
He told me the dream.
Look at this will right here. And it's written in like... Yeah. It's written in orc.
Yeah, it's bill of sale.
Draws his house.
My room does have a second queen bed and a cot if you'd like to stay there with me.
So yeah, I think, for Jimmer, He's bought into that. Like, he is convinced by kind of the nature of what he's been told.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not happy that he doesn't know where Galabras is, but he's he's found faith to accept that he's okay, and this is what he needs to do.
Mm.
For him.
For him.
For Galabras.
For Galabras, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, everything's very mystical, and obviously she's not telling you the whole thing, but it's easy to get wrapped up in her. It happened long ago in Red Lake Fort with four other heroes.
Yeah.
I remember them.
Remember them?
Remember
four characters
old
ago
heroes?
For you?
Thank you, Troy.
So, Metra, what do you want to do?
I think Metra wants to seek out Baron. I mean, she's talked to Sir Will. Mm-hmm. She, Gormley's dead, and the only other person who's met and traveled with Della is Baron. So I think she would want to find him.
Mm-hmm. You know how freaked out Baron would be to have Della's the mother show up.
Now.
Oh my God, terrifying!
I'm the sheriff now.
Oh no!
Look at me.
What about Adriel and Sir Will? They hit it off at the campfire. What do they want to do?
I mean, I think that Sir Will is, he's thinking obviously about his mother. I mean, his mother is missing, or she escaped, allegedly. And if she got out, he has some idea where she would probably go. She'd mm-hmm. probably go to her family home. But it doesn't matter that much what he wants to do because he's under the, he's under the, under orders to serve Trunau, you know, right. Jagrin.
Still technically under...
Right. So, like, literally, he's waylaid in this dungeon. This horrible thing happens to Highbury. But he does have to reassess and realize that, like, he's still on a mission here from Baron. It was like, go attend to your situation in Highbury and then go to Trunau and report to them where we are and what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so he's obviously much delayed, but he is fulfilling that part of the mission. I don't even imagine that he's there in that room with Droja. Like, I imagine he's, like, in a long, maybe even more than a day, debrief. Right, with like the Trunau council, or at least the guard captain, just explaining everything that's been going on, what the giants are doing, what they're preparing, the whole Skirgard thing.
Right.
You know, he wouldn't know it to great detail, but he would know that this frost giant camp is a training camp for whatever.
Yeah.
So he's just like reporting to that, and then it's like whatever, you know, he wants me to do next, I guess.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, like the idea of Adriel coming with me, like whatever Sir Will has to do.
I think,
because what a badass.
I think Adriel is not with Sir Will during this, and after this info dump happens of Jimmer's fate and everything else going on, I think Adriel turns to Droja and says, "The little prince, Sir Will, he is not much in stature, but I believe his gossamer to be woven through the very tapestry of fate that we all live and create every day. And I think without his abidement, the day is lost. What do you say, Droja?"
"I think you speak wise. The young man is tied into this very, very deeply. How, I do not know. But Silvermane says he is important. Whether that's just to Brander or to the larger picture, I do not know.
I desperately wish to meet the other Ashpeak Baron, as Kilpath has told me that I needed to do so in order to save her. However, something nags at me as if a kernel stuck in my teeth about this boy. I feel as if I must accompany him, wherever he may go, even if it is far away from Baron."
"Yes, I see that as well. You must follow the visions sometimes, even though they may take you the long way to your goal, if you feel a connection with this boy. Perhaps it will lead you to Baron in the end."
"Well, as you know, the mysteries and revelations have been clouded as of late, and I needed your kind counsel to guide me on my way, though I feel as if I'm just a candle floating in the night. Perhaps we'll shed light upon what needs to be shed. Droja, it is seen. I will accompany the little prince." And he leaves.
Goodbye.
Just walks out.
It's like Batman. Hold on. Turns around one second.
It's like, whoa, huh?
I want to hug you. So, Adriel is going after Sir Will. They're going to do their own thing.
And then you got
Jimmer and Metra, who are sort of tied up in Droja's cryptic messaging about Galabras, who is now gone, but she won't tell you why and won't tell you how, but there's something
so withholding.
She gets off on it.
She does.
There's something so convincing about her, the way in which she speaks about things that have come to pass or that will come to pass, that you just feel, swept up in it. And Silvermane has been to Skirgard.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much of that he actually remembers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He died there.
What does Silvermane do anything?
Mm-mm.
He's just, see ya.
He's there in the room with Droja and all with all this happening, and he's just there. He's just in the background the whole time. And, yeah, he's definitely, you know, as Jimmer starts to come around, nodding, and she says, "You know what this means, you know where they need to go." And he's just, "Yes, I know." And he wants to, you know, he's going to summon them there. So, like,
he's going to summon them there?
No, he's going to summon them to come with him whenever they're ready to go. It's going to be the message.
Oh.
You know, it's going to be like, when you're ready to set out, come to me, and I will put you on that mountaintop.
Because Skirgard is very, very far away.
Right. And he's like, you know, prepare for battle, because I'm going to drop you right into it.
So Metra and Jim do some shopping. Anything you want to do before you leave town. And then eventually you go to Silvermane's house overlooking the Hope Spring. Knock on his door. He comes out in pajamas. In Scooby-Doo pajamas.
Footy pajamas. Scooby-Doo footy pajamas.
He's got a bowl of like Frosted Flakes.
Spilled all over the front.
I didn't know they made them in size hulking beast.
He just grunts at you.
I just realized that I just from thinking about Silvermane and having to watch Jacen grow up again. Injured now.
Yeah.
Knowing he's gonna die.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, there's lots of stuff there we haven't touched
on.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Does he...
He's seen it all.
Does he know? Does he have memories of...
Yeah, I guess maybe we haven't established that.
We haven't really talked about that, but...
Yeah, we haven't established it yet.
Hmm. He said something in 200 that was like, those memories or something. I can't remember what you said, but...
Yeah, I think it was about Galabras. It's like, I'm not sure how I can explain it, but I feel like I've known him longer than he's been alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what you said. So they knock. What do you do?
He takes them down to the Hope Spring and simply, you know, he's mute, so they're not really communicating, but he's just looking them up and down, making sure that they're actually ready to go. And then he silently begins a series of hand motions with his eyes closed and his lips moving, but nothing coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And after just, you know, a matter of seconds, both of you see shadows like cast by the sun. What a stupid way to explain a shadow. You see
it gets darker underneath.
A certain portion of the sun is blocked by a solid object.
I just
this
really
is a shadow.
I really want to be in the room
he
when
says
one
to
of your children
shadow creature.
Right, to someone from the shadow plane. No, but you see basically two blots against the sun approaching swiftly against the wind. And suddenly growing larger and larger and larger until swooping over the recently reconstructed walls of Trunau, you see two giant eagles.
What?
Oh, what?
Swooping
oh my
into
God.
The Hope Spring and just like... on the ground in front of them. Just like a helicopter. Like the wind yeah. from their wings is like...
Everyone's ducking.
Everyone's like ducking. There's just like dirt and dust flying up in the air. And they just like... down on the ground next to you and then just like ease themselves down so that you can easily mount them.
Wow.
What a way to travel.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? And can you tell them where to go?
Yeah, or I don't know. I mean, it's mostly just flavor, Troy. But sure. But it is. It does have a limited duration, so it would only be 13 hours. But I think 13 hours by flight should get them there.
Can you give them parachutes in case they dispel in midair?
Should get them there. And I mean, these are intelligent creatures. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? So I think that magically they could know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
He could communicate with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
You know, normally you're supposed to be there too. But
right.
You know, it's more of a flavor thing. But,
yeah. No, I like it.
And he reaches over to Metra and just like takes her hand, holds her hand for a moment and nods to her, walks over, does the exact same thing to Jimmer, takes his hand for a moment, nods, and then steps back, gives some good clearance, and then just their wings start flapping and they take off and fly these two straight out of Trunel.
Wow. You just see an arrow, like, barely miss one of them. And a little voice go, I missed! That could have been dinner tonight.
That would have fed me for weeks.
And so Jimmer and Metra fly off in the direction of Skiergard on two giant eagles.
I'm nicknaming mine Gwaihir.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Yeah, so anyway, that is his domain, because the Silvermane's domain is the eagle domain, and that's his sixth level domain.
Wow,
spell.
That is really, really neat.
Eagle Airy, it's called. You can summon a flight of giant eagles. What,
how useful is that?
Yeah, pretty awesome. So I can summon
badass.
Up to four eagles.
Wow.
I can fly a whole party.
Well, amazing.
Well, after the end of this combat, you might need to summon a couple more. Because we're back in the tomb.
Oh, no. Oh wait, can I do one more thing?
No.
One more little thing? Come on.
Right.
It's little. I don't know that they're definitely leaving, but I would assume Sir Will and Adriel are leaving.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? And
on a secret mission.
Yeah, on a secret mission. And I just have this picture in my head of just Gandalf in Lord of the Rings when Aragorn, it's Aragorn, right, that tells him that Sam went with Frodo, but he's like, but Frodo is still moving the ring toward
Mordor.
Mordor.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, oh, he's not alone. Sam went with him, and he's like, did he? Did he indeed?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. And smile. So I imagine Silvermane like watching Adriel like walking next to Sir Will, much larger than him, and just nodding and smiling. Like, I didn't even have to do anything, and this is, and what is supposed to happen is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
We're back
yeah,
in
like
the tomb.
Baron, you are 5 feet away from her as she gets immolated.
Oh man.
A hand, a green hand, just sticks through the wall, touches her.
I see the green hand lighting up the interior of this stone hovel that was built for the two of us and illuminating it all. And before I know what can happen, I see Faraz's eyes maybe look back at me, and this incorporeal hand touches her and just
the cloak falls to the ground. The cloak that you said, here, take my cloak, falls to the ground.
Oh my god.
It is your action, Baron.
Wow.
What a
Faraz, wild.
No. And before any more thought can go through his head, he remembers her words of take the cloak, get out. Baron reaches down into just the remains of his friend that he'd been traveling with all this time and whips the cloak around his shoulders. And I guess with his final action of this round, activates the ability to enter the ethereal plane.
Enters the ethereal plane.
Well, wait a minute. Now let's do this right.
Okay.
Picking it up as a move action.
All right.
Donning
it as a standard action.
All right. That
takes 5 minutes. unless you want to don it hastily.
Hastily don.
And then what is the activation?
It's a standard action.
Oh.
Okay. So I'm in there.
You're in there.
Oh, geez. Okay. Right.
So it has not been activated.
Nope.
It is Dalgrith's turn.
Well, Skid just wants the whole world to burn. I could have gotten away with it if it wasn't for that pesky Skid Mar.
If it wasn't for that pesky Skid.
I have to answer those emails.
Ooh, jeez. Okay.
That changes everything.
That does change everything.
Oh.
Oh, no. Dalgrith. I mean, man. He's got room for one more. He could do one more image. Try to take attention away.
You're just like running laps around the battlefield right now and leaving images.
Yeah,
that's
like
great.
Just pooping out illusions. Oh, man. Now, is the stairs like, is the ceiling lower in the stairs? Because he was like 40 feet up, 35 feet up or whatever.
You got airwalk on you. So.
Right, so he was 35 feet up. Can he still be 35 feet up there? Or did he have to go down? Okay.
The height of the maze ceiling is not as high as the Skirkatla's throne room.
Okay. Okay. Then, oh man, this is tough. Baron.
This is extremely bad.
This is extremely bad.
Yeah.
I am just so happy that who do you know who wrote this book or this encounter?
Jim Groves.
I'm so glad he had these things continue to fight when their leader died. Just beautiful monster behavior. Thanks so much, Jim.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't just go sit and be like, "All right, mission accomplished."
Good luck on the way out,
guys. Make sure you get a bag.
Yeah, make sure you get her armor.
No, they've been like, "Oh, now all hope is lost. Like, why are we? What? Maybe they're enslaved or something." And they'd be like,
"Yeah, we're free."
Now we're free, and then they just run away. Like,
yeah, it's true. That's interesting.
That's interesting.
I like that.
Wow. Dalgraith is going to move up in such a manner that he's going to move in such a manner that he ends up going, starting down toward the ground where Pembroke is.
Okay.
And he's going to move and put in a square just the last square he passes through, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He'll put an illusion. And an illusion of himself. And he will then shout at these creatures. You still got one dwarf left. I'm over here. And try to draw maybe ranged attacks over that way.
Wow.
Okay.
And, you know, so they can see the illusion and they hear the voice and it comes from basically the same location.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they could get a perception roll to see if the voice came from 5 feet to the side of the illusion or whatever.
There is one dwarf yet in Skirgard.
Yeah, exactly.
Still draws breath.
So he's just trying to, you know, he doesn't know exactly what's going on in the box. But he knows that the idea of taking a cloak and putting it on and everything is going to take a few seconds.
Uh-huh.
So maybe, you know, I mean, he almost stops himself from blurting out, but then he just blurts it out because he thinks he can still possibly survive it.
I love that you also, like, can't stop yourself even when it makes sense from being heroic. The great Deathbringer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting move. So you left another image of yourself out there.
Yeah. I just can't copy it.
Okay.
You can, but
That's fine.
Right to his left there.
The one that just killed Feyraza is closest to that image. It fires at the image.
Okay.
Natural one?
20-something against touch, so destroys the image.
Yes.
The other one... Yeah, this is very, very interesting here. What do they know? That one knows that it killed something. It had to have felt that it killed something.
Not necessarily.
They can
it knows it did damage.
Yeah, but I mean, they can communicate with each other.
It also, just because it kills...
a bolt.
Right, but just because it kills the illusion doesn't necessarily... Like, it can kill the illusion and still know that... Somewhere over there, there is an actual dwarf because the you know, maybe the illusions don't make sound. You know, I guess
that's why there's a 50% mischance.
Right,
it comes up to touch through the wall.
Oh God!
First, let's see if it touches into Feyraz's square.
Oh, you have 50% mischances.
Oh my God!
Or Baron's square.
Oh my God!
So it just comes up. What were you last week? Odds?
I was odds.
Matthew, you want to stick with evens there, Grant?
You decide, bud. I'm not going to throw myself in here.
I'll be evens. You are even Steven.
Come on, odds.
Come
then
on.
Then we don't have to worry about it.
Yes!
Oh, my God.
Yes! Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable.
Oh,
Grant.
My God.
Oh, man.
I was born on third base. That's
real.
Incredible.
It was a three.
Wow. Comes up. Touches through at Feyraz's space. And Baron...
You had to kill me again.
Just it really just fries her. And it is now Baron's turn.
I mean, it's really tight there, so she might not have fallen. Like, she
crumpled.
Yeah,
she could be, like, leaning up against Baron.
Right. It's just like... I just grab it as
so
another.
Her body's still
you
there.
Want to roll reflex?
Slumping against him.
Effectively, he did a coup de grace.
Yeah.
But I was already dead.
You're already dead. It just chopped your leg off. Baron, you are up.
Baron.
And you have the cloak donned.
Baron is going to activate the cloaks.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God.
And then move 20 feet into solid stone behind him.
Just into stone. Dalgraith, you are up.
You actually moved 10 feet, but
amazing.
Oh, okay.
You move.
Oh, could you move half speed? All right, yeah. So I'm just inside of this stone.
Skid, is there anything that, like, Pembroke would have had that is, that you would say is, like, I don't know, significantly Pembroke? Like, something that, like, if Dalgraith could grab, like,
I mean, his cane, for sure.
His cane, right?
You know what? There was, like, he did have a pendant around his neck, but that's been destroyed, obviously.
Right.
So, yeah, from what he has left, I would probably say his cane. But.
Okay. Dalgraith is going to... he's going to hold.
Okay. Hold. Baron, let me know what your thoughts are here, because you have enough time left on the cloak. Because remember, Pembroke used the cloak to scout the secret area out so that you could teleport there. But I will say that there is enough time left on that cloak to get you outside. We don't have to really worry about you if that's your goal.
Uh-huh.
What is your goal? You can go anywhere you want. It's Dalgraith we gotta worry about.
Oh, boy. So I'm not actually interested in any of the treasure in this room.
Mm-hmm.
But I am interested on what's on the other side of the doors we didn't go through in there.
Well, that is true. That is another room.
But I'm just worried about...
those doors are far, but I mean...
I'm also worried about picking up something and then having these witch fires see me and then fire on my space.
You sure. Actually can't pick up anything.
Oh, I can't pick up anything.
You can't pick up anything. You're on a different plane. You can't be seen.
Really?
You can be hit by abjuration or force effects.
Right.
So,
I mean, I don't really know what else I could do at this point.
Hmm.
So I'm just going to... Baron's just going to... Sadly, he does not want to. He's going to... keep on moving. I guess I can't even affect myself with healing spells while I'm in this realm.
You can.
Okay.
Yeah, you can.
All of your stuff is on the ethereal plane with you.
Okay, great. So
do you have resist energy?
I wish. Baron's going to move another... Was this his turn now?
Yeah.
Baron's going to move another 10 feet that way, and you know what? He's going to get out of the temple before he tries to heal himself.
Okay, so that's basically what I'm asking, because we don't have to worry about you unless there's something you want to do to buff yourself or to, like, go back into the fight or to go explore into another room that could have more creatures. Who knows?
Yeah, I think Baron's just going to play it safe, and he knows that the main evil's done and that he wants to try to regroup in any way he can and come back here and finish off whatever he has unfinished business he has with Brander. He wants to give a proper burial to his friends as well, so he's definitely coming back. But right now is not that time.
Dalgraith, what is your plan here?
Well, he's wondering if he can... He's devastated at seeing Pembroke's broken body, and he wants to take out of... He doesn't want Pembroke's whole everything of him to be left in this tomb. So he wanted to take something... But he's also not going to do anything really stupid. So, you know, if the witch fires, are... And I forgot about these stupid things. The
Will-O-Wisps.
The Will-O-Wisps.
I'm not even using them right now because they can only hurt you and you're invisible.
Right. So, but I wonder if, like, his staff just, like, vanishing is something they would pick up on.
Hmm.
And if they do, could they just, like, blindly strike out in the space? Hit from one of these creatures.
Wait,
and
aren't the
Will-O-Wisps
gone? They were summoning creatures.
Summoned by the Witchfires.
Oh, I thought there was a Meister Kahn.
What an awful creature the Witchfire is.
That's an amazing creature.
Oh, God, man.
So I'm just getting a sense as a player that it might be too dangerous. I don't know. What do you think? Like, what do you think?
Is to
it
what?
Like, to try to grab this staff and have it vanish in front of them. Is it like... It's just too risky, right?
I guess the question is, do you want to die?
Yeah, I don't want to die, but if it's obvious that, like, nobody's going to see me, then I would do it. But I don't know if it's obvious. Like, are the witch fires scanning the room still, or are they giving up? Like, that's kind of why I was
looking at the map where those will-o-wisps are. It's very dangerous.
All right, yeah, I mean, he could always come back later. So he's going to... He's going to double move into the maze.
Okay.
So he's going to double move out into the maze.
God. All right. In terms of creatures you have to worry about right now, are these morgues?
Yeah.
And the Doulahan.
And the Doulahan.
Oh, right. The maze exit. Oh, God.
The maze exits right into the room with the Doulahan.
Oh, my God.
There's no other way out.
There is no other way out that you know of. Do you want to roll some knowledge checks?
Yeah, I can do knowledge religion on the morgues.
Okay, try that.
The main thing I want to know is, do they have blind sight?
Okay.
Knowledge religion on the morgues. Ugh, come on. I mean, natural 3. It's such garbage. 10.
You don't know.
It's really every single roll. It doesn't matter what I'm rolling for. All right.
Roll on the Doulahan.
Knowledge religion on the Doulahan. That is an 18.
Ooh. They do.
They do have blindsight.
The Doulahan has blindsight.
Oh, Lord.
With a range of 60 feet.
But you also...
But you don't know where it is in the room.
You don't know where it is, and there's also those columns, those pillars in the way, so I think you could go tricky enough. Full sprint.
Also, you can go up in the air.
That's true, too.
Oh, airwalk, yeah.
Yeah.
You can walk above its head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, start walking on sunshine, buddy.
That big-ass lance.
Yeah, do the maze walls go to the ceiling in every spot, or can you just walk over the maze?
No, they go to the ceiling, but you can walk up.
At least save yourself those footfalls.
Yeah.
Jeez, this is brutal.
I mean, you're going to have to open the door is the other problem. You're going to have to open the door into the Doulahan's room.
I will start by making my way to the door. So I will try to work around and avoid these morgues at all costs. I mean, if they don't have blind sight, I have... You know, a really, really, really high stealth score. But I'm also moving kind of quickly, so I'm not sure. I wouldn't probably go into full stealth unless they saw me, but I'm not making any sound, and I'm invisible.
Right. All right, so you begin moving while Baron is just walking through walls to get out of the tomb. You just keep walking through, and eventually you hear, like, footsteps. And around the corner, one of these things walks up.
Oh, God.
And... You're standing across from it, and it doesn't appear to see you. It just keeps walking right at you, though.
Oh, no.
Right at you.
All right, he's going to go up and over it and stay completely still.
As you do that, it just takes a right and starts walking away.
Oh, my God.
A heart attack.
I'm, like, doing it on the map, too. Oh. Up, see ya. Just going this way.
If I get out of this one alive, I promise to pray to Torog every day. He'll go...
Turns around and hears you.
What was that?
I didn't say it out loud. He'll go to the doors.
All right, so you eventually make it to the doors while Baron is still flying through walls, trying to get out.
You don't have to... You can walk up and down, too. Ethereal jaunt lets you go up in the air.
Sweet.
Ethereal jaunt. I love that.
Ethereal jaunt.
Dagworth, you get to the doors here. They are locked from the other side, but you can easily get out. What do you do?
They're locked, so I can just open the door?
Yeah, they're locked, but you can unlock it from this side.
Oh, I can unlock it from this side. I'm going to stealthily try to...
Roll a stealth check.
Unlock the door.
Oh, my God.
Now, I guess the invisibility doesn't apply here, right? I would imagine.
To the handle.
Right. To the sound of the handle.
To the sound of the handle. 27.
27. Let me roll a little Doulahan perception.
Natural
here.
6. Still, in 4 episodes, haven't rolled over 11.
Wow. Maybe I want to change your
guy. Okay, you... Open the door.
It made that sound?
You see the Doulahan in the room. He is the headless... You know, you hadn't seen this creature before. You probably only heard from Pembroke and Baron of Feyraza what this thing looked like.
Yeah.
This is the thing that killed forebears.
Yeah.
You see it. It's about, 70 feet away or so, hugging between the pillars in the middle of the room, but towards the right side of the room, where the right pillars are running down towards the exit. He does not seem to notice that the doors opened. But yeah, you know, I just moved him and he's 70 feet away. You know, his blind sense is 60 feet.
Oh my god. All right. Dalgraith is going to go just above the floor.
Uh-huh.
And then just right, you know, along the wall, basically. Just trying to stay, because that'll keep him out of 60 feet, right?
Yeah.
If he, like, shimmies along the wall.
Uh-huh.
So he'll shimmy along the far wall from him as quietly as
he's
possible.
He's like Solid Snake in Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. It's just like, he doesn't want to hear that.
Two stealth checks.
Exclamation points everywhere.
Roll two stealth checks with the plus 20.
And put a cardboard box on your head.
Metal Gear.
Another 11. Still max at 11. That is a 52.
Okay.
And then 54.
Okay. Ooh, 31 perception I rolled on the second one. Oh, so you're walking along there, and it's kind of like moving around.
Oh, God. No, it's on a patrol?
I imagine sometimes he's behind a column, and he just stays behind the column.
Yeah, it comes like right next to your column.
Just like walking by.
But you were able to get... Bye.
Oh my god.
Oh out. Man.
I could just picture
I'll
all
tell you what, I had a plus 16 perception. Like, I could have got you.
No joke.
With that 34, I didn't even need to roll a natural 20.
And then, as he gets to the hallway where the main thing is, he just starts running. Like,
yeah, by
full
now.
Full speed, four times speed.
Through the air.
Through the air. Running to the door.
Holy
of
crap.
Of the tomb. Bursts through the door into the sunlight, blinding his eyes.
And you get outside the tomb.
Oh my god. So insane.
What do you guys do?
All right, well, I mean, he heard Feyraza, so he's just praying, please, brother, please, tell me you made it out. Tell me I'm not the only one. Tell me I'm not the only one. And I mean, he's basically looking for Baron, but not going uninvisible yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just in case. See if he's going to show himself first.
And Baron takes his cloak off, and you see him shoom, enter this plane. Brother, we may have won the fight, but we lost the day.
It's a bad one. I'm afraid it's a bad one, Baron, but we can't linger here. We must get far away as quickly as possible. Stay low. Follow me.
I will.
And we're just like, doom, 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 through the snow, immediately trying to close on one of the buildings just to give us some cover from the open,
you know. Is it daytime, nighttime?
Yeah, yeah. What
time now? It's probably around like 6. So the darkness is approaching.
Yeah, so I mean, we're just going to try to get to the closest wall.
Yeah, right near the nearest place is the temple. You probably don't want to go there. the mammoth stockade is also nearby. The silo was burned down, so the next closest place.
So was the mammoth stockade.
That's true. That's right. Would be the mess hall.
Can we airwalk to where
Didn't
we
burn that down too?
You might have burned that down.
Was the airwalk
a lot of damage?
Was the airwalk 10 minutes a level?
It is.
Whatever.
I don't have that character sheet open.
Let's just say we don't have the airwalk and we're moving through the snow.
We have lots of places where we had camped out before. Can
right,
we reach
right,
one
right.
of those places? Maybe?
But if you want to go to a building.
I don't think we'd need to get to a building.
Okay. There's one building you guys never went to that is right.
We'll go there.
Right,
yeah,
there,
sure.
Yeah.
Check that place
out? No, I think let's go to the mess hall because that's
10-minute intervals among the creatures touched.
So it was like a half hour or something.
Yes, yeah, so you have some time. Yeah.
You have enough time to float over to the mess hall.
All right, so we'll get over to the mess hall and just like, you know, close the door, seal ourselves in, and just, it's like a quiet place. You're just like, keep your voice down. We need to heal up here before we move forward.
And what is
I mean, he's really hurt. He's bleeding all over. He's got 6 HP.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of the leader of the wolf pack again that we met at the beginning?
Rainfark.
So I think at some point after we heal up a little bit, Baron's going to want to try to reach out to Rainfark for, like, you know, protecting our asses as we kind of get out of there.
Yeah.
We killed Skirkala. We finished our end of the deal with her. So I'm hoping maybe she can give us cover or help us get down the mountain or something quickly. So let me pop off some...
It's crazy because after all this time where we're just popping in and out of Skelt and in and out of the cathedral with the teleport, suddenly, like, you're just stranded on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We got a long hike back, brother.
And, like, even just getting back to civilization is going to take such a long time.
Right. Yeah.
14 points of healing for you.
Oh, God. Already feeling better. Huge.
18 points of healing for me, and I'm out of Cure Lights.
Yeah, and I mean, with these, with Pembroke and Firazagon, I mean, do you have the wand? Do you have a wand?
I think I have a wand. Let me look at my sheet real quick.
I believe you do.
I believe I do.
I certainly don't have one. And ooh.
You don't have any potions left?
No. I mean, I do, but not healing potions.
Yeah, we both have one.
Oh, no. Actually, I do. I do have a healing potion here. All right. So, yeah, I mean, we'll take healing potions. I think we're going to hole up for the night.
Okay.
At this point.
All right, so...
Rest and recover. I mean, you know, my armor abilities, I used all of them, and they recharge each day, so...
Oh, I also have, Dalgrith. I have a broom of flying. We can get down the mountain very quickly. It'll take the command word and fly back here, whoever wants to go first. But let's rest up tonight.
All right, let's rest tonight. I don't think they're coming out of that tomb anytime soon looking for us.
And can I plant, is there any ground that's not awful? Can I plant the sapling rod outside somewhere? Or in this room or somewhere?
All right, we can go right outside and plant
it. All right, cool. So we'll plant that, and then in the morning we'll grab the fruit.
Harvest.
I think you actually both could fly on the broom. It just would move more slowly.
I'll look it up while we're resting.
I mean, the two of you probably don't weigh 400 pounds together, right?
Up to 400 pounds at a speed of 30 feet.
Oh, we might, with all our gear.
Let me just see. I wear, well, my load is 114 pounds. I weigh 170, so that's 300 pounds just on me.
Yeah, yeah. I weigh 185 pounds and then have all my gear. So yeah, we couldn't do it.
Yeah, and I don't have,
but it's all right.
We can do it in the morning though. But yeah, let's rest up, heal up,
and mourn the loss of our friends. I don't think we'll sleep well tonight, but we have to get some rest before we move forward.
Aye, we have to.
So, I mean, I think just completely exhausted.
Yeah.
They sleep.
We, like, collapse against the door, even. Like, we get the door closed and just...
You just, like, jam a bunch of stuff in front of it and just pass out.
Yeah.
So you sleep. You make a place for yourselves to sleep. You guys still don't really have what it takes to defeat the witchfires, right? To be able to, like, search that room, clear out your friends' belongings, clear out their bodies or what's left.
We haven't talked yet about it. Mm-hmm. We might talk about it in the morning, but, you know, Dalgrith is... He's not optimistic.
So you lay down, you go to sleep. Certainly you're exhausted, but it's not a restful sleep because there's horrible guilt sort of weighing on you. Baron, you're dreaming, you think, but it feels very, very real. And you're back outside of that two-story house, but this time you don't hear a baby crying.
Oh, no. Oh,
man. You walk inside just sort of out of curiosity to go back to that room. The door is slightly ajar. On the second floor, you push it open. And Brander is just sitting there.
Oh, God.
Can I talk to him in this dream, or am I, like, witnessing it, like, out of body?
It's a little bit of both, but you feel like you can speak.
He would struggle through and said, "I couldn't finish the deal, Brander. I lost two more of my friends. They fell on the battlefield and I ran out of there with my own life, even though I didn't deserve it. You can go in that temple and get her armor yourself, you son of a bitch."
I knew nothing of the old man. What his part in all of this is or was, I know not. But the girl... She deserved better. She came from a long line of fools. But I thought she would be the one to break the chain. Apparently not. I don't know why I had a soft spot for her.
but I thought that I could keep her around just a little bit longer. But it seems like yet again you've let these pieces fall through your hands.
They're not pieces, Brander, they're people. And they're dying, they're not going anywhere. It's not something I ever dreamed for them. I don't even know what the hell you want them for.
Are you returning to the tomb?
I don't even know. I think I will. But I'm sick of playing right into your hand, I'll tell you that right now.
Do you remember when I gave you the gift of knowledge? The gift of knowing who to trust and who not to trust? I'm going to give you another gift, Baron. But it's one that I don't know if you will even have the courage to use.
Baron spits on the ground. Don't talk to me about courage, you coward.
I do not have much time to waste. As others approach, we're not yet ripe.
Oh, no!
Here, take this. And he, like, hands a potion to you in the dream. Retrieve the armor, Baron. And do what you think is right. The dream ends. Eventually you wake up, and sitting on the bedside table next to you is a potion. Glows with a strange clarity.
Wow. Baron can't believe that this item crossed the dream world and entered with him, but since he's traveled through planes, you know, just with this cloak just a little while ago, he can believe it. And he'll detect magic on it. I assume it's magical.
Yeah, definitely magical.
Spellcraft check.
Mm-hmm.
Natural 20.
Oh, wow. Huge.
25.
It is a potion of plane shift.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay.
Don't even know what that is. Sounds cool, though.
What does Baron know a potion of plane shift does?
It allows you to move yourself or some other creature to another plane of existence or alternate dimension. If several willing persons link hands in a circle, as many as 8 can be affected by plane shift at the same time. Precise accuracy as to a particular arrival location on the intended plane is nigh impossible. From the material plane, you can reach any other plane, though you appear 5 to 500 miles from your intended destination. It transports creatures instantaneously and then ends. The creatures need to find other means if they are to travel back.
Huh. And so this is actually a spell on Adriel's spell list. I was looking at this in the Oracle spells. Does this seem to...
In fact, it's also something that Metra can do.
So, is it something, when it is cast by a spellcaster, it goes to your desired plane, basically. Do I get the sense that I get to choose that plane if I were to swallow this?
Sure.
Oh, okay. It's not like predetermined by Brander to send me to some fucked up place.
No, but you have no idea why he gave it to.
Yeah. Baron will pick it up, look at it. Dalgrith. I had a terrible dream. I saw Brander again. He told me that he'd already given me the gift of knowledge and he wanted to give me one more. Now I have this potion. The potion of plane shift. I have no idea. He's speaking cryptic riddles at me. What do you think?
I think the man's a mystery. I wouldn't trust anything he says. But I did strangely believe him when he said he wasn't our enemy. I mean, I know he is. I'm not crazy, but it feels like he's got something much greater than just defeating us going on. I don't know quite what it is, but I don't want to be falling into his traps anymore, and I feel like this potion might be one of them.
And I realize potions can't be higher than a third level spell, but it's flavor. It could have easily been a scroll or a wand.
It's a potion like scroll or a scroll like potion. These are very common.
It's a liquid scroll.
We'll say if you have to use magic device on it, so it can be a scroll. But
that makes sense. So I can't even cast it now. I know Dalgrith can't either. Knowing what this magic is, very powerful magic.
No, be careful reading that scroll. Keep your eyes away from it. Don't read the text.
Baron's blind now.
Mishap.
I have a healthy suspicion of magical writing. In the land of Osirian, you can simply read things and they can totally change your fate. I try to stay away from it when I can, especially one that's written by a man such as Branda. Now the question is, Baron, do we go back in? Do we get their bodies and bring them back out? Can we defeat the witchfires? Is there a way? I've been thinking about it all morning. Since 4 a.m. I've been awake, but I can't figure a way.
Ever since back in True Now, I always had a hard time getting a shot off and connecting with creatures that were incorporeal. And I'm still not healed up yet. We're going to have some tender victuals in a second here off of that tree. We might be able to heal ourselves up there. But we also might need to head back to Skelt and rest up a little bit more before we head in there. What do you think?
That sounds good to me. I don't see them rearming the whole tomb before we come back, and I don't think that with their leader gone and dead, there's not really much of a point to try to... And I might add that no one else is really going to get through into that room besides us. I think we have the time we need, especially with the broom.
It just doesn't feel right living on this borrowed time that Pembroke and Feyrasa gave us. I want to charge back in, but I've let my emotions get the best of me in the past. I guess I shouldn't this time, even though it feels right. Feels like I should.
I know. There's going to be time for it, Baron. You and I, we're going to do the memories justice. But the time's not now. We need to think about tactics now. We need to think about getting out of here alive, getting back to Skelt, healing up, and then coming back, taking their bodies out of here. It's got to be our priority at the moment. And then we can properly put them to rest. Okay.
He reaches out,
shakes
grabs
him.
Your shoulder, gives it a good squeeze. It's like, let's keep our wits about us now, and we'll mourn for them when there's time.
All right. Well, let's eat and then let's fly. Do you want to go down first? You know how to use one of these flying brooms?
No, I'm absolutely terrified.
he'll fly down the mountain, I guess.
Before you fly down the mountain, both you roll a perception check.
Okay. Right, here we go. 30.
21.
I'm sorry, 34.
You both hear... sound of wings.
Oh my god.
Baron, it sounds to you like dragon's wings.
What?
Oh.
It sounds to you exactly like the dragon that Brander turned into in Minderhall's Cathedral before he flew out. Those kind of wings, the way it echoed throughout that cathedral, the sound disappears. What do you do?
Oh, man. Dalgrith draws his sword. He's like up against the wall. He's like,
could be a dragon outside. I know you said you had your dragon friend, but...
Baron reaches out, opens the door, fear in his eyes, just terrified, knowing that it's just the two of them, plucks off the 6 pieces of fruit from the tree.
He's like, hurry,
eat. It's like being in a battle in Skyrim where you just like pause and eat everything in your pouch. Oh, yeah. So we both get 3 potions of cure mods. That's good. It says, Dalgrith, it's a terrifying dragon that came down. That's the dragon that done stole Della and gave her body to Brander.
Well, just keep a lookout. Don't walk out there yet.
The snow is all a mess in the area. You can see most of Skirgard. There's snow everywhere. Like, there was a fresh Like it's actually snowing. It's all been whipped up into a frenzy. And in the distance you see, walking through camp, a solitary figure in a black robe.
What?
For a second you're like, is that Brander? But it's a woman. Kind of looks exactly like Della. Walking around and looking. And from behind, a man with a sword in hand.
Badass armor, like armed to the teeth.
And an eye patch.
And a freaking eye patch.
And they look right at you. Matthew, hold on to that paper. We'll see you next week.
Even get to the paper.
I want to read it.
I thought Skin was going to get to do one thing.
The Glass Cannon Podcast is a Glass Cannon Network production and is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. Giant Slayer is copyright 2015. Giant Slayer and the Pathfinder Adventure Path are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.